Church, that brings us to our objective for tonight, our eighth objective. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to compel us. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to compel us. The subtitle for tonight's message is, Quench Not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Church, the Holy Spirit compels us. He compels us. Now, this is the work of the Holy Spirit that we often don't like, but it is absolutely essential, necessary, if we're going to have victory in this life. He compels us. Well, what do you mean by that? He compels us. Well, let's look at a definition or the definitions of that word compel. Now, that word compel has multiple meanings of different strengths, if you will. Compel can mean to seize, to overpower. It can mean to force something into submission. It can mean to seize, to overpower, or to force something into submission. That is the strongest definition of the word compel. But that's not the definition that we are really looking at tonight. That's not what we mean when we say that the Holy Spirit compels us. That word compel also means to drive. To drive. It means to urge to a course of action forcefully. To urge to a course of action forcefully. It means to bring something about through the use of pressure. It means to bring something about through the use of pressure. It is to drive, to urge to a course of action forcefully, to bring something about through the use of pressure. It is this second definition that shapes our understanding of what the Holy Spirit does in us. He compels us. That is, he urges us to follow a course of action forcefully. He urges us to follow a course of action forcefully. In other words, he effectively encourages us to follow a course of action. He's effective. He effectively encourages us to follow a course of action. It means that he urges us to follow a course of action in a way that demands our attention. He urges us to follow a course of action in a way that demands our attention. It means that the Holy Spirit brings about righteousness in our life through the use of divine pressure. The Holy Spirit brings about righteousness in our life through the use of divine pressure. And you thought you were righteous all by yourself. But he compels us. Now, this does not mean that once you become a Christian, you turn into a mindless spiritual robot. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit all of a sudden presses a button and then you just automatically pop up and obey. That's not what it means. See, we must understand that God never removes our will, never takes it away. He never takes away our ability to determine or to choose our own course of action. He doesn't take that away. So while the Holy Spirit compels, we can resist his efforts to direct us. While the Holy Spirit compels, we can resist his efforts to direct us. While he urges us in a way that demands our attention, we can still stubbornly ignore him and refuse to obey. See, the Holy Spirit compels the believer, but we can resist. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Four of the most profound words in the Bible, loaded with great warning to the believer. See, because this is a warning to the born-again believer. This is not a warning to the sinner. Quench not the Spirit. In other words, do not suppress or stifle divine influence. That's what that means. Do not suppress or stifle divine influence. It's a warning to us, because that's what too many of us have done, are doing, and will do. We habitually, as Christians, suppress and stifle God's divine influence in our life. We do it habitually, and it shows. It shows in our Christian life. See, many of us, we're doing a lot of different things, and we're going nowhere. We're into this, we're into that, back and forth, not making any progress in our life. Many of us, we're just in bad shape. We have problems that follow us no matter what we do. For some of us, we keep doing the same wrong thing over and over and over again. Some of us keep struggling with the same issues, unable to grow past them. And still, for some of us, time is just ticking. The months are turning into years, and we still haven't done what we know that we were supposed to do long time ago. Many of us are just in bad shape. And the reason that we are in bad shape is that we refuse to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. That is the reason. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand my upbringing and what I went through and how I live my life, and you don't understand my family situation, and you don't understand what I'm going through on my job. Yes, all of that may be true. Stuff has happened. But the reason I'm in bad shape is because I have refused to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. That is the reason. Because the Holy Spirit has the power to get me where I need to go. Doesn't matter where I am right now. Doesn't matter where my life started. And it doesn't even matter what's along the road that I travel. The Holy Spirit can get me to where I need to go. So if I'm a Christian and I live year after year after year after year after year, and I just stay in bad shape, the reason is I refuse to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We just refuse. Some of us stifle the voice of the Holy Spirit because we just won't get quiet. We are always busy in our mind, always busy in our activities, and we won't get quiet because we are afraid. We are afraid of what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us, so we just keep moving and dodging. Some of us are stifling divine influence through the way that we respond to the Holy Spirit. We always have something to say in response. When the Holy Spirit says something, we always have something to say back. We have a response. We are never, ever wrong. We never allow ourselves to feel convicted about anything. Just refuse. I just will not feel convicted for anything. I'm just not wrong. Stifling divine influence. Some of us just resist the word altogether. You know, when we hear the word taught, we're in a defensive posture. You know, we're batting the word off. That don't apply to me. That's not me. I don't know what she's talking about. We just resist the word altogether because we don't want to hear it. And in fact, for some of us, this pandemic has been a sort of reprieve. If we're honest, the pandemic has been a reprieve because now I can sit at home, I can half listen, listen a little bit, stop listening. Tune in when I feel like it, not tune in. See, because I really don't want to hear it. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be confronted, and I don't want to be convicted. So I use other things as an excuse. I say things like, well, you know, I'm just not one to stream. It's just not for me. Well, you know, when the church reopens, I'll get back into it. But the reality is, I don't want to hear it. Now this is an opportunity for me to quench the spirit, to suppress and stifle God's divine influence in my life, because I just want to do what I want to do. I want to feel religious. I want to get my praise on, but I want to do what I want to do, so I stay messed up. Church, if we surrender to the Holy Spirit's urging, He will guide us in the courses of our life that are good for us, just good for us, good for our health, our mind, our body, good for our family, good for our relationships, good for our peace, just good for our life. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to read verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel was a prophet. He wrote the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. Both Ezekiel and Jeremiah lived at the time of the Babylonian captivity. And both Ezekiel and Jeremiah predicted the fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah witnessed the fall and remained in the city of Jerusalem. But Ezekiel was captured and deported to Babylon. But while he was in Babylon, God by his Spirit caused Ezekiel to see what was happening in Jerusalem, that the people were apostate. He saw how the people were engaging in vile, idolatrous worship. And so Ezekiel, throughout his book, admonishes the people of God. And he lets them know something that was profound to them. He lets them know that they were individually responsible before God. Now, why was that profound to them? Because they had a sense of national salvation. They felt like because they were the children of Israel, they were Jews, then they were just saved. Sort of like people today. You know, thinking because I'm American, I'm saved. Because I'm a good patriot, I'm saved. Just like people who believe in black Hebrewism, because I'm black and I believe I'm from this tribe or that tribe, I am saved. I have some sort of national salvation. And Ezekiel says, no, that's not true. Every one of you is individually responsible before God. Ezekiel is the prophet who said famously, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so he admonishes the people they were individually responsible. He lets them know of the judgment of God. But like other prophets, he also prophesied that Israel would be restored. This restoration would involve the entering into a new covenant. That's where we pick up in verse 26. He describes this new covenant. He says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. In other words, I will give you a heart that is receptive to God. And he says in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within